Greetings and welcome to another episode of Surgical Educator Podcast. I am your host or Master of Ceremony, and today we are exploring a condition that poses a unique challenge in pediatric surgery, that is biliary atresia. This is a significant cause of obstructive jaundice in infants, and understanding its intricacies is crucial for medical students and surgical trainees. Joining us today is Professor Dr. Selvaraj, a pediatric surgeon with expertise in biliary atresia. Welcome, Dr. Selvaraj. Thank you for having me, MC. I am delighted to discuss this important topic. Well, what is the epidemiology of biliary atresia, doctor? Well, biliary atresia is a rare condition affecting about 1 in 18,000 infants. It is more common in females and is often identified in the first few weeks of life. What is the epidemiology of biliary atresia? The exact cause is unknown, but it is believed to involve a combination of genetic and environmental factors. It results in the inflammation and fibrosis of the bile ducts, leading to obstruction and subsequent obstructive jaundice and liver damage. Well said, doctor. What are the clinical features of biliary atresia? The clinical features include, number one, jaundice, often appearing within the first few weeks of life, and it is progressive in nature. Number two, pale stools and dark urine due to the absence of bile flow into the small bowel, that is acolic stools. Number three, enlarged liver, sometimes felt on physical examination because the liver also becomes cirrhotic. Number four, poor weight gain and growth. As the liver function is compromised, there will be poor growth and weight gain. Number five, vitamin K deficiency and coagulopathy because of liver failure. Well explained, doctor. What are the differential diagnoses for obstructive jaundice in children? Number one, choledochal cyst, which is obstructing in nature. Number two, inspissated bile syndrome, that is the thickened bile. Number three, spontaneous perforation of bile ducts. Number four, neonatal hepatitis. How is biliary atresia diagnosed, doctor? The diagnosis involves, number one, blood tests, assessing liver function and checking for elevated bilirubin, usually direct bilirubin more than the indirect bilirubin. Number two, imaging studies such as an abdominal ultrasound and CECT to visualize the liver and bile ducts. The triangular cot sign at porta hepatis is there instead of the usual Mickey Mouse sign at the porta hepatis. Number three, hepatobiliary scintigraphy or HIDA scan, which shows intake of isotope into the liver but no excretion into either the bile ducts or into the small bowel. Number four, liver biopsy, often performed to confirm the diagnosis to assess the extent of liver damage and to exclude neonatal hepatitis. Number five, intra-op cholangiography to rule out inspissated bile syndrome from biliary atresia. In inspissated bile syndrome, the thickened bile obstructs free flow of bile, and this will be relieved by doing intraoperative cholangiography. What are the complications of biliary atresia, doctor? Number one, cirrhosis and liver failure. Number two, ascites. Number three, portal hypertension leading to splenomegaly and eventually esophageal varices. Number four, pulmonary arteriovenous shunting. Well, what is the treatment for biliary atresia, doctor? The mainstay of treatment is surgical intervention. The Kasai procedure or hepatoportoenterostomy is performed to create a connection between the liver and the small bowel, bypassing the obstructed bile ducts. In this Kasai procedure, first, all the atretic extrahepatic biliary radicals should be excised. The triangular cone of portohepatis is resected to expose the minute biliary ductules at that level. Then the mobilized distal limb of jejunum is anastomosed to the portohepatis through retrocholic route. This is the Kasai procedure. Well explained, doctor. What is the prognosis for infants with biliary atresia? The prognosis is variable. While the Kasai procedure can improve bile flow and delay the need for a liver transplant, many infants will eventually require transplantation. Usually only 50% of these babies after a successful Kasai procedure will have, good bile flow. The other 50%, there won't be any bile flow, and eventually they need liver transplant. So we have to do regular follow-up that includes monitoring the liver function, nutritional status, and the growth of the child. If the child is developing signs of liver failure, that means the Kasai procedure is a failure and we have to do hepatic transplant only. Well explained, doctor. Are there various surgeries for biliary atresia? The Kasai procedure, as mentioned earlier, is the primary surgery. In cases where the liver is severely damaged, a liver transplant may be necessary. Thank you, Professor Dr. Selvaraj, for shedding light on biliary atresia. This information is invaluable for medical professionals at all stages of their careers. It has been a pleasure, MC, and I hope this discussion helps our audience to gain a deeper understanding of biliary atresia and its management. Early diagnosis and timely intervention are crucial for better outcomes. Absolutely, doctor. To our listeners, thank you for joining us for this episode of Surgical Educator Podcast. Keep exploring the world of surgery by watching all our other episodes also. And until next time, stay curious and bye-bye.